This dispute between the administration and some lawyers on the release under the Freedom of Information Act of photos which show alleged abuse of detainees from Iraq and Afghanistan has caused a debate. That there was abuse in Iraq and Afghanistan is not in dispute, but the issue of transparency in the Obama administration is under debate now. Obama doesn't want to release the photos. Well, here to talk about what this move represents on a variety of levels, from the involvement of torture and the treatment of detainees that have emerged since President Obama took office, it's been an issue really since the inauguration, is Vicki Duvall, a government teacher at the U.S. Naval Academy. She's also the former general counsel of the Senate Intelligence Committee from 2001 and 2003, and she's a former assistant general counsel for the Central Intelligence Agency as well. Vicki Duvall, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, John.
Let's begin with this issue of transparency. Is there a legal standard for transparency, or is this making political nice here?
Well, I think there are a variety of legal standards that speak to the issue of transparency. There's no one standard. The Freedom of Information Act, for example, provides a legal basis for the general public and the media to ask our government questions and provide standards for when they must answer. There are other transparency type laws, for example, the one that I was discussing in my op-ed, having to do with when and how much and to whom in Congress the president, and it is the president's responsibility, has to give Congress about intelligence activities.
Well, let's talk about your op-ed here, because I think you raised an issue that occurred to me once it was clear that Nancy Pelosi seemed to have gotten briefed by the CIA about so-called enhanced interrogation techniques very early in the game when she was a part of the House Intelligence Committee. The circumstances of that briefing are the CIA comes in, claims they're going to talk about some very sensitive matters, classifies the material as part of the conditions of the briefing. And so Congress is officially notified, but they're also under orders not to tell anyone else in Congress. Is this a restraint of the separation of powers in the sense that, in theory, Congress can stop the administration from doing anything, but if it can't tell other lawmakers about it, there's really no way legislatively that Congress can move forward?
Well, exactly. Congress is an entity. It's made up of individuals, but they act as a unit. And if you set up a structure, which is set up in the law, but I think the law, although it could be improved, does anticipate that it would be a meaningful notification. But if you set up a system or use an approach that forces just a handful of members to be the custodian of this information on behalf of the whole Congress, you have essentially limited the ability of the Congress to act.
Now, there's no evidence that people like Jay Rockefeller, who apparently was briefed, Nancy Pelosi, she, of course, there is some dispute about what she was told or what she knew. There's no evidence that any of these people, save perhaps one, raised an objection. But let's talk in theory about something that Congress might have been briefed on where the members of the committee said, this is outrageous. Forget it. We want you to stop this tomorrow. There's almost nothing Congress can do to actually put any wheels in motion, right?
Well, the law requires them to be, quote unquote, notified. And we can debate whether they were or are normally notified in an effective way or even in a lawful way. And you're right. I mean, it's a notification. It's not a mother may I. It's not a we're going to do this. Is this okay? That's not how the separation of powers works.
But isn't that implied by the Constitution?
Well, certainly. And it would go into play. They just can't object at that moment. I mean, they would have the power of persuasion to say, we are going to take action. We are going to cut off your funding. We are going to pass a law that says don't do this. And they can do all of those things or try to. But at the moment of the notification, you're right, that there's nothing they can do. The executive branch can move forward. But if the notification has been given broadly enough and effectively enough, and one of the issues here is that normally in a closed briefing, in a very small briefing such as these were, as far as we know, the members don't take notes. They're discouraged from taking any kind of notes. There probably is absolutely no record
right
in the legislative branch about what these briefings involved. And the only record we will have is the one kept by the CIA briefers themselves. Oh. Not that I'm saying they wouldn't keep accurate records, but it's still unfortunate that, you know, when history looks back on this, we will only know what the executive branch says happened. We won't know what the legislators say happened. We'll never know.
Well, where do you think this is headed? Is new legislation going to be drafted that would create more of a process that you describe in your op-ed, or is this a dispute over what Pelosi knew and when likely to result in an actual Supreme Court test of the restraint potential of classifying information in briefings?
Well, that's an interesting question. It's very hard to get cases up to the Supreme Court. You need to meet certain standards of case and controversy to move forward with that. So I would doubt that that would happen. I think that more likely the attention that this situation is getting and the fact that the Speaker and others have been put in a very difficult position of people saying what they knew and they don't have the same recollection of what they were told will result in a look again at these notification procedures, not just what the law says, but how the law has been followed or not followed. And I don't believe it's been followed.
Well, the irony here is that while the initiatives in Congress were originally argued to hold potential Bush officials accountable for some of these behaviors, it may end up, and then you write eloquently in your op-ed, that it's Congress that will be held accountable, what they knew, what they did, and what maybe they should be doing in the future, that will be more of a central issue.
Exactly. That is, I suppose, ironic. I think both angles of it will be looked at very closely. I know Senator Feinstein said yesterday that the now chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, that she's going to look at all aspects of this, and I trust that she will. She's an excellent senator, and will look deeply into all of this. And then at the end of the day, they'll decide whether the laws are good enough and they just weren't followed, or whether they need to be at least clarified so that they will be followed in the future.
Well, you can find the op-ed from my guest, Vicki Duvall, who's a government teacher at the U.S. Naval Academy, on our website. It's also at nytimes.com. She's a former general counsel of the Senate Intelligence Committee and assistant general counsel for the CIA.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.